You'll find the scripture reading on the back of the bulletin, and we'll read this responsibly. This is the letter of the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. And we read together just verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of the Holy Word. How often does God change things? And why does God ask us to change? Why does God change things? I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, true or false questions. Were human beings originally created for eternal life, to live forever? Is that a true statement, that they were created to live forever in the beginning? Yes, it is. You may recall that the tree of life was there in the garden, but as soon as they sinned, God had to get them out of there. Why is that? Because God cannot abide in the presence of evil or sin. And so he got them out so that they would not die instantly in the presence of God. Second question. Has the earth changed since God made it? Well, I'll say this. The earth has changed, if I'm doing true or false. The earth has changed since God made it. Do you believe that? Is that true or false? It is a true statement. It's actually a yes and no, because it's the same planet, sort of, but there are big changes. And when we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, it says that the waters in the sky were separated from the waters on the land by a dome. Now, we don't have that dome, but it never rained before Noah in Genesis chapter 7. So structurally, and when you read the account of the flood, we find that God opened the floodgates from heaven. So reading this carefully, we understand that structurally, at the time of the flood, the earth was changed. And young earth scientists, now we've got scientists and young earth scientists, but anyway, young earth scientists believe that land formations changed with the flood. They also believe that the dome was responsible for the more moderate temperatures, and that is why, this is their explanation of the woolly mammoths and other large animals that are on the Arctic and Antarctic regions of the planet. So if you have a dome, as is mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, then there is moderate temperature all over the entire globe. But when you take that away, you have what we have, because that has always perplexed scientists, how woolly mammoths could possibly survive in the Arctic or Antarctic. The size of the animal does not allow for that with all the calculations that they did, but this does explain it. And finally, true or false, God is always chasing us down with his goodness and mercy. Is that true? That is true. Psalm 23, verse 6, God's mercy and grace are following us. Okay, so it's the new year, and here's a new year's sermon packed with resolutions, possibility for transformation. And transformation, I just wanted to give you a little bit of history there to say that, yeah, God is interested in changing things. God does like to change things. He changes things for the better. It's a God thing to make things better. He did it at the great flood. He did it on the cross, and we have a brand new world. instead of us sacrificing, now we had sacrifices, animal sacrifices, blood sacrifices that were required every time we had sinned. And these were instituted by the covenant with Moses. But instead of sacrificing continually to prove our commitment to God, God provided for a better way. Sacrifices were meant to get us back in relationship with God because God wants us to be in relationship with Him. Now, instead of continuing with these many blood sacrifices, God went first and sacrificed for us. And we read in Isaiah 53 and Jeremiah 31, Isaiah 53, we read of the suffering servant who is also the Messiah. And in Jeremiah 31, we read of the Messiah who is to come, and that the Holy Spirit would now be available to people everywhere, all people. And by the way, that's another thing that God has changed. In the Old Testament, it was only prophets and priests and kings who sought God that experienced the Holy Spirit. Only prophets and priests and kings. But Jeremiah and others mentioned that in that day, when the Messiah comes, He will give the Holy Spirit and everyone will have access to God's Holy Spirit. He urges us to accept eternal life and follow Him. God is moving. He is always moving. He is always listening. He is always paying attention to you, whether you know it or not. And it is for your benefit and for my benefit. It was for our benefit that He kicked us out of the garden so that we wouldn't die in His presence. So it is that what we do and what we think matters. What we think matters. And as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Okay, there's a setup for today's sermon. So that's the setup, and here's the good news. As we welcome the new year, many of us are reflecting on changes we'd like to see in our lives. Has anybody made a New Year's resolution? Do you have a let me see your hands if you've made a New Year's resolution. Is there anything you want to change? You want to stop smoking, or you want to stop eating? There's everybody wants to lose weight, right? Everybody wants to lose weight. But many of us reflect on changes we'd like to see in our lives, that we have new resolutions. That's one thing. And some of us want to break old habits. And some of us want to pursue fresh goals. We deeply believe, somewhere down inside of us, we believe that it's possible to change. We deeply believe in transformation because God is inside. That's the way He made us. That's the God part of us. Okay. So it is possible, and it is possible. And what does transformation look like for you and me as Christians? Man. There we go. The Bible teaches us that transformation isn't just about improving ourselves, it's about being renewed by God's power. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which we read this morning, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. In this one little verse, Romans 12, 2, there are three key truths about God's transformation and what He can do and what He offers to you and me. So I want to share these three things. The three key truths in the, and I'll read the verse again. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. So this is what it is. This is the story in a nutshell on transformation that God offers us. It begins with God, it happens in our mind, and it leads to action. It begins with God, it happens in your mind, and it leads to action. And this is change and transformation. And I'm just going to go through each one of these, about a half hour on each. No, about 3 minutes on each, I think. Should be good. My voice, as long as my voice can hold up. First of all, transformation begins with God. True change comes not from our own strength, but from the Holy Spirit within us. Okay? As 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, this is 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature. The new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. So when we accept Christ, we are no longer held back by our old ways. You say, but Pastor John, yes I am. Yes you are, but you have the power to move past it. These bodies of flesh that the Apostle Paul bemoans, he talks about it at length in the Scriptures. He says, when I want to do the right thing, my body is there reminding me of the old habits I had. And it's so easy to go in the old habits. If you've had trouble getting out of your old habits, would you please say amen? Amen. Yeah, it's not easy. That's the flesh part of us, okay? But the Spirit is strong. The Spirit is strong. When we accept Christ, we are no longer held back by our old ways. Instead, God gives us a new heart and a new purpose and a new desire. Now, that is the important part. If you really desire it, if you really desire to do what God wants you to do, then you ask for that and He will give it to you. Transformation starts when we surrender our lives to God and invite Him to mold us into His image. Now, it's not just the one thing and you're done. You know, you go to the, like, you go to the beauty shop or you go someplace and your hair is done, just like that. Or you go somewhere and, you know, it's instantaneous. That's not the way it is with us when we are changing for the better. This is not a one-time event, but a lifelong journey of becoming more like Jesus. So we are not perfected, none of us are perfected until we get to heaven. And the good news is, when God looks at us, we are, as Paul says, hidden in Christ. So when He looks at us, who does He see? Christ. So we are hidden in Christ until we are perfected, and we will not be perfected until we are in His presence. And why is that? Did you know that God cannot look at sin? Remember on the cross? The Scripture says, Jesus uttered these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Scripture also tells us that God looked away from Him, did not look at Him. Why is that? Because your sin and my sin and everybody's sin was put on Christ and He became sin. And so God could not look at Him. And that is why that happened that way. And so, the only one that could do that, the only one that could take on the sin, was the perfect Lamb, the perfect Lamb of God. God cannot look at sin. This is why God turned away. Number two, renewal happens in our minds. So transformation begins with God. That's number one. Number two, renewal happens in our minds. The world is always telling us who we should be and what we should value, right? I mean, I'm probably wearing the wrong glasses and the wrong sweater and the wrong watch, you know, according to some people, you know, but they should mind their own business, right? The world is always telling us who we should be and what we should value, but God calls us to think differently. Don't think like the world thinks. Read my word and be transformed. Transformation begins when we not only read His word, but we allow His word to shape our thoughts and priorities. Now, How does God's word shape and change us and transform us? We have to bathe in it, as the scripture says. We need to read it, to drink it in, repeat it, listen to it, read it, and do it again. If you find something that really speaks to your soul, underline it in your Bible and read it again, and maybe put it on a plaque in your home, something that really blesses you. Transformation begins when we allow His Word to shape our thoughts and priorities. Joyce and I have these little signs around the house. If any of you have ever experienced my cooking, I'm sorry, first of all, but right where she cooks, I have this little sign, and it says, "You are all kinds of amazing." So she sees that every time she cooks. And it's true, she is all kinds of amazing. And I don't know what I'd do without her. So, this is what we do. As we meditate on these things, focus. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, focus on God's word. Spend time in prayer and scripture. And this equips us to discern God's will and align our lives with His purposes. Philippians chapter 4, 8 tells us this. Focus on what is true and noble and praiseworthy. Now, there are a lot of things on the internet and on our phones that are not noble and praiseworthy. But Satan wants us to be distracted. But as we meditate on the things that are true and noble and praiseworthy, when we meditate on those things, our mindset actually shifts from worldly concerns to eternal truths. Wherever you spend your time is where your heart will follow. And so make more time for the things of God. So that's renewal starts in the mind. Transformation begins with God. And finally, the transformation. Number three, transformation leads to action. When God transforms us on the inside, it impacts the way that we live. Our renewed minds lead to renewed actions, like serving others. Huh. You mean you have to think, you know, that's why Hollywood marriages don't last very long, because in marriage you actually have to think about somebody other than yourself. Well, that's what God is calling us to do. And that's what a good marriage is also, right? You prefer the other person. You do whatever you can to make them happy. When God transforms us on the inside, it impacts the way that we live. Our renewed minds lead to renewed actions. Remember the scripture? As a man thinks, so he is. It works for women too, by the way. I don't mean to be sexist there in my quotation. But our renewed minds lead to renewed actions, and serving others, loving our neighbors, and living our faith boldly. As James, the brother of Jesus, says in James 2:26, faith without works is dead. He says, don't tell me about your faith and then just go off and do whatever you darn well please. Don't do that. He says, faith without works is dead. Work on yourself. The gift is there. The power is there. If you spend time with God's word, it will work. So brothers and sisters, this year, ask yourself, how can I reflect God's transformation in my daily life? Perhaps it's by offering forgiveness to someone. Is there that one person in your life that you've never forgiven? Let me tell you, that's the biggest thing of all, is to forgive somebody that's really wronged you. But we need to get past it. And once we do, it's a beautiful thing. How can I reflect on Christ's transformation in my daily life? Offering forgiveness, stepping out in faith to serve in a ministry at the church, or maybe starting a new ministry, or showing kindness in difficult situations. As we begin this new year, I would encourage you to reflect on God's transforming power in your life. It is there for the asking. It is there. We just have to exercise it. He's given us the equipment. Now it's time for us to lift those dumbbells, barbells. It's time for us to exercise and read the Word, experience the Word, listen to the Word, maybe make a plaque, whatever it might be that God calls you to do. Ask God to reveal areas where you can grow and commit to walking in His ways. Remember, transformation is not about perfection. It's about progress. It's not about perfection. It's about progress. And to that I say amen, because like you, I'm far from perfect. God is faithful. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the Apostle Paul tells us this: God is faithful to complete the good work that He began in you. So my prayer for you this year, brothers and sisters, is for a year of renewed minds, transformed hearts, and lives that are lived in glory to our Lord and Savior. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, this is the last thing I'm going to say. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, the Apostle Paul says this: we are changed by the Lord. We are changed from glory to glory. In other words, from one degree of glory to a greater degree of glory, until finally in heaven we will be perfected. And this morning, our final hymn, we will sing a song that reminds us of that. Change from glory into glory. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank You for Your love to us. We thank You that the transforming power, Your transforming power, is available to us. It is there for us. All we need to do is spend time with it and to seek You. We love You, Lord. We thank You for this opportunity to make a new life, to be transformed. And all God's people said, amen.